Hey, I'm Chuck Liddell. You're watching Icebreakers.
Watching Icebreakers. My name's Adam Ray. I'm on the show, too. Trying to catch the ball.
Fuck!
Icebreakers, Jason Ellis.
Boy.
Thanks for coming through.
Thanks for having me. Really sorry. I was really, really, really late.
Oh, dude, that I'm going to hold it against you for the rest of our friendship.
He wanted me to reenact the first time we met, so
yeah, I feel like that's fair.
It's fair now that you were this late.
Yeah, but you're true.
That doesn't involve him punching me again, does it?
Oh, is it?
Well, I think it does.
I didn't realize that was the first time you met. That's a fucking greeting if I've ever seen one.
Well, I feel like I'd met him before and he didn't know it.
Right.
But well, that's
you were trying to be memorable.
I'm not very good. I'm terrible with faces. Like,
yeah.
I'm terrible with that. If you're out of context,
yeah.
I'm terrible.
And I was just a kid. I didn't have like a wolf tattooed on the top of my head, so I was less rememberable.
Yeah, right.
But when I was blacked out, wasted at Kerry Hart's tattoo shop. Is this what you're talking about?
Yeah.
So I got Kerry Hart had. I did a show with Tony Hawk that I'm now doing again, which is super weird.
Oh, great.
But Tony Hawk's Demolition Radio, he was doing it at Kerry Hart's tattoo shop. Jason, will you go to the Hard Rock? And this is when I was married to someone who didn't let me have any fun. So when I got off the plane in Vegas, there was no one there.
To hold you back.
No one was there. We come back in 4 hours. And I was like, 4 hours? So I found these things called Long Island iced teas.
Oh,
and
dude.
I was like, whoa. These, you can barely taste the alcohol. They're just smashing them. So the next thing you know, I'm putting cigarettes on my hand and telling Kerry Hart that he's a backflip bitch over and over again until he tattooed it on me.
Backflip bitch.
That's a story. But yeah, I saw him walk in.
Get excited.
And those guys back then were less familiar with the mixed martial arts scene.
Right.
So I remember I was like, fuck, Chuck Liddell. You gotta be, and they're like, "Oh shit, this guy must be like some shit if Ellis is gonna flip out like that."
Yeah.
And then, just super inappropriate straight away. punch me, motherfucker!
I'm telling you, like, I was like, I don't want to hit you. Like, I've been drinking.
Yeah,
I've been drinking.
Yeah.
I don't want to hit you.
Yeah.
And then he punched me like 4 times, and then I made some smart ass remark.
Yeah, that's
I was
what
like,
he was
"Come
saying.
On." This is bullshit. Kerry Hart will vouch for me. If you hit me hard, I won't say shit. I won't sue you. Isn't that right, Kerry?
It's on camera.
Like, yeah. You'll be all right, Chuck. And Chuck's like, but I remember him.
But that's when I got my, like, really? Did he just do that on camera? Like,
yeah.
It's
documented that I'm fine.
Here we go. Okay. No, not that. I was like, this guy really wants me to hit him hard. This motherfucker.
I saw his face change for that one, and I sobered up for a split second because the whole time he was like, "Whatever, guy." And then he went, "Oh yeah," and he did the like that with his.
Oh.
You've done it again, Jason. And then he smashed me on the ground, but it was in the arm. It was not. He didn't hit me in the face.
Totally, but still, I mean, not a.
You know that story proceeded into me. Blacking out, but before I asked a girl that she couldn't, I said, "Kick me in the nuts. Bet you can't make me spill my beer."
What
and I
a
had
great
this,
dare.
I had baggy pants, and I had this thing where if you open your knees tight, it makes like a low crutch blocker. So
okay.
I was like, she's an idiot. She doesn't even get it. I'm never going to spill this beer because it's not hitting me in the dick. It's going, it's like blocking it, but I didn't know. She had pointy toes. Shoes on, and that was going up my asshole, and I didn't know because I was drunk and I was just focusing on the beer not spilling.
You had an actual cock blocker, yeah.
I was just laughing like an idiot, going, "Ha ha ha! You can't even make me spill my beer." And then I guess I got the tattoo. I don't remember that. He punched me. I don't remember that. I dropped a drink in the nightclub, and I still had my hand like I was holding the drink, and that's when Kerry Hart was like, "I'm gonna help you back to your room," and I was like. Yeah, okay. So I woke up at 6 in the morning, just out of nowhere, don't even know where I am, what hotel room I'm in. And I get up and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with my arm? I'm like, oh my God. And there's a fucking big lump on the side of my arm.
What the fuck?
It fucking smashed my bone open.
What the fuck?
And I don't know that he did it. So I'm like, oh my God. And then I look in the mirror and there's backflip bitch tattooed on my armpit. And I'm like, all I saw was bitch. And I go, bitch, who tattooed bitch on me? And then I'm like, straight away I go, dude, my fucking asshole hurts. And I'm like, no way. It finally happened. You fucking talk so much shit. Someone butt fucked you and tattooed bitch on That's you. That's what I thought happened.
And what is my arm hurt? Yeah.
I called Carrie Hart at like 6 a.m. freaking out. I'm like, what happened? I got a fucking bitch. My asshole hurts. Please tell me I didn't get fucking raped. And he's like, calm down, man. Like, you just told some chick you couldn't spill your beer and she just kicked you in the asshole like 12 times and you didn't do anything. And I was like, oh, thank God.
Thank God, yeah, thank God. Yeah.
Thank God I'm just an alcoholic.
Wow, man. Oh, that God. Is, that was in where again? What was, where was the tattoo?
Hard Rock in Vegas.
In Vegas, okay.
No.
Oh, another palms. Yeah, sorry.
But Vegas, yeah, we were talking about Vegas earlier and just the opportunities for true debauchery.
Especially
back then.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. To be a fly. Oh, my God. Whoa.
Every time him and I ever saw each other at night, if you were a fly on the wall, you'd probably fly away. We were not fucking playing. Every time I ever saw him at a club, it was a quick conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
here we go.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah. Are you all right? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. No. We'll see what happens.
I remember one time my stepmother was at a club. She came to America and my brother wanted to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
And he just so happened to be there. And there was a split second there where she had a few words with him. And I just sat back at the table going, look at that. That's my stepmom talking to Chuck Liddell. She has no idea. You know what I mean? Everybody here is high as fuck. And she's just like, so you like fighting, do you? He's like, yeah, fuck it.
Just making small talk like he's not fucking out of his mind.
Yeah, but he was fucking, you know what I mean? That's the thing. Like, Chuck's an intimidating guy who's not
a sweetheart on the inside. Yeah.
Yeah. Funny, we went to the Tony Hawk charity.
Yeah, yeah. Tony Hawk Foundation.
He's talking, just give me shit. Like, no, why'd you hit me? I'm like, you asked. He's like, I was drunk.
Poor guy brings his fucking kids to the demo, and I'm just spracking off on the microphone. Like, he doesn't even know where I am or where the voice is coming from. Just some dude calling, talking shit on Chuck Liddell.
Can you even explain, like, the actual feeling, though, of absorbing the punch? Or were you just, fucked up enough?
I was so wasted.
Yeah.
And you know the deal. It's more what, I mean, unless he's really fighting you, it's more him being aggressive to me. I'm not scared to get hit by anybody. I'll fight anybody. But I don't. He's a legend, and he's directing his legendary skills towards me. And now I feel like a toddler, and I've got to get the fuck out of here.
Right.
Like, that's, I'm not going to act like there's mental toughness that I don't have.
Right.
Like, certain people can be like, "Hey man, why don't you shut the fuck up?" I'm like, yeah, well, fair enough.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. There's not.
I always saw him. We was at that thing. Like, wait, what the fuck did you say?
Yeah, see,
and everyone, like,
yeah, even that look.
They're like, you know what? I'm good. Like, I don't know why did you just hit him?
Yeah,
it's super handy, but
precise.
He punched me in the face. Remember for Instagram?
Oh, for Instagram, yeah,
slow mo video. You know they fucking. I put it on TikTok and they banned it.
What?
Why?
Because it's like violence or something, and I'm like, violence. I mean, it's on there all day. What are you talking about?
I had a glove on.
But you can show punches to the face.
I had a glove on.
Yeah, and it wasn't that. I do this because I've worked on this before because I have a slow-mo camera.
Yeah.
And if you let your face really go before you get punched,
relax, you
it
get
makes
that.
It do that. Whoa,
oh, thing cool. Way That's better. What you're going for.
Yeah, so he fucking cracked me in the face slow-mo. It was hilarious. And then
it looks really cool.
Yeah. It did, right? Because your ear.
I didn't.
Can we find it anywhere else?
I did the guy with
It might have been. It might be on Instagram still. They didn't ban it.
I did it with the guy. Man, the guy from the Peru, like the show, the mountain climbing show we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, yeah. You punch everybody now, right?
I don't punch anybody.
I kind of started
for a long time.
You did. You really did.
That was people coming up and ask me all the time now.
Like, I was just saying you should start doing cameos for that or like charity auctions where like.
All my cameos is 100% money goes to the Tony Hawk Foundation.
That's a sweet move.
Straight payback.
How'd you become friends with Tony? Because I didn't realize the extent of your skateboard, experience.
You didn't know I was good? I used to be the shit, son.
I know, dude. I fucking did some research. Holy shit.
I was like,
you set the record for the biggest 70-foot
bomb drop. Yeah. That's some bullshit, though.
It is.
Well, I did it because Danny Way did. They were only offering $10,000, and he was like, "I'm not fucking jumping off anything for $10,000." He's like, "I know a guy that will." And then he called me and said, "Hey, man, Guinness Book of Records want to pay you $10,000 to fucking break the world, break my world record." And I was like, "Yeah, yeah, hell yeah!" It was like a highlight of my life.
I love that. Because it's just different levels. Like, I mean, you get to a point like there was a time when I would have done, you paid me $10,000, just oh, fuck it. What is it?
Especially if it's a world record, right?
I'll come over. You want me to kick his ass? It wasn't the world record.
No problem. I wish I had $10,000 right now. Boom, go.
Let's talk about this, guys. Can we get the table out of the way?
Then, you know, when you start, like, something I turned down, like, I don't really want to do that. Like, I used to work weeks for that.
I feel like I'd still do it. Like I feel like somebody's gonna pay me $10,000 to do some crazy shit. I'm jumping, dude. Next week, I'm jumping off of a side by side onto my skateboard over some fucking dirt bike jump.
What?
Yeah, Hoonigans are just gonna send me over this a buggy jump.
See, like that, but it's
you know. And they called me and said, "Would you do it?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they were like, "Do you want to do it in next week?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll do that any day you ask me to do it because I don't know how much longer I can do it."
Like, yeah, good call.
When you have something that you like to do, that's a different thing. Like, it's like, you know, oh wait, you did that thing for $10,000? Yeah, it was fucking cool.
Yeah,
like
the cool factor's got to be there.
That you want me to go to the middle of nowhere and hang out with, and do that for what? Like, no, you're gonna pay me now. You can pay me $30,000 for that.
Yeah,
like, you're gonna pay me $50,000 for that. I'm not, because I don't want to go.
Yeah,
I feel like Chuck comes from the same place of where I didn't think that anybody would ever pay me a lump sum of money to do anything. Like,
especially if it was fun, right?
And I'm like, wait, you're saying $10,000 to jump off my skateboard? I was gonna jump off my skateboard.
That's
today
what I'm saying.
Anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, you want to give me a $10,000 chip? This is, you know, no bullshit.
Wait, so you said that record was bullshit, but that got you into?
I mean, it was the world record, but it was the world record because Danny Way wasn't there. Like, if Danny Way and I were to just stand there and they fucking had a ladder and we just kept going up and up, I can admit it, dude. Fucking, he would beat me. Get over it.
Yeah.
The greatest skateboarder that ever lived is Danny Way. I am one of the best that there ever was.
Love that.
But I'm not as good as Danny Way. Shit happens.
Yeah.
I'm proud to say that I was on there with him and I was in.
Does happen to be on the list?
Yeah, right? Like, I remember Dak Shepard said to me. Anyway. One time, he was like, some people in the NBA, like, sit on the bench, and if you're sitting there looking at Kobe or somebody like that, thinking, fuck, man, I'm never going to be him, you're in the fucking NBA.
Yeah.
Like, soak it up, because it is going to end. You know what I mean? Even if you're the champ, it's going to end.
Yeah.
So if you're in there with the big dogs, because I get it, because you're an overachiever. Everybody that makes it to the highest level is always never satisfied with not making better, winning.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like whoever's, oh, yeah, you're good. Fucking come here. Let's see how good you are.
Totally.
Like it's a constant. It never stops. It's like the gift
comparing
of
and contrasting of your skill sets. Yeah.
And then that mentality gets you there. Like some of the mentality gets you. Like for me, like I was really good in one lane, my lane. You know, that my lane of life. I'm really good. But some of the things that made me really good in that lane don't make me really good. It makes me really good or bad in other lanes, too.
Right.
You know, well, it's because you're so disciplined in one thing. People don't realize what it takes to be really good at something. You have to give everything you have to it, which means sometimes you might spend, depending how long you're doing this, 10, 20, 30 years doing only that and not paying attention to people or paying your taxes or fucking all the things that all big people do. Because to me, I was like, I just skateboarded. That's all I did.
And then when you retire, like for a lot, and it happens with a lot of athletes, a lot of especially athletes, I think, but a lot of people, when you retire now, all of a sudden, like for me, was the hardest thing was when I retired was all of a sudden I didn't have that laser focus. I didn't have this. So that controlled me. I was a wild man anyway.
Yeah.
But I always had something to pull me back.
Mm. Now you didn't.
Now I don't. Now I didn't for a while. Now why that? I'm like, hey, I don't have to stop doing that.
Must have been fun though, right?
Oh, it was rough.
I feel like
it was a good time. I mean, I
feel like fighting champions that party have the best like.
Stories. By the way, I'll never be.
You can't do it. You don't
accuse of not living my life.
You know what? He doesn't talk about it, and he doesn't.
I'm actually glad that it happened though before Instagram and.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You'd be ruined.
We wouldn't be here.
I tell you, he was the worst. He was the monster. Everybody, get out of the way. Here comes Chuck Liddell. Am I allowed to say?
I was in New Mexico. Look, I was.
We'll bleep it out.
Look, I've been in New Mexico. I've been up.
I think that he might have done a bump every now and then.
I was at a strip club in New Mexico.
Yeah, I bet you. How many times have you said that?
I was at the top. I'd never bought, really like buying dances a lot. So yeah. I'd be like, girls, wait, come on. Like, how about you show me a move? I'll give you $100. Show me a move. I'm gonna do it on the pole. I've been gone down the pole in my underwear.
Oh, yep. My God.
And the club, and then people are like, how are you not getting kicked out? I'm like,
because Chuck Liddell.
Yeah, totally.
Everybody wants to see the Iceman spin the pole.
That's what they came there for. They just didn't know it.
Rain, baby.
I was at Crazy Horse too one time. And I was with
a girl. I bet you he said that a few times too.
I was with a girl that wasn't cool to get lap dance or something. So some girl was giving me a hard time about not getting lap dance. I'm like, look, how would you pay me $20 and I'll give you a lap dance?
Wow.
You'll get kicked out of here. I'm like, I go up on that pole and not get kicked out. I'll bet you $100 I go up on that pole.
Wait, did you give girls money at the strip club?
For other people, I go buy my friend's house. Yeah.
But you never spent a lot of money in there?
No.
Why not?
You're
the guy that goes in there and doesn't spend that much money, and then you tell the lady that they like watch me dance.
Yeah.
Man, no. Come on, yeah. Iceman.
Unorthodox.
That's their profession. Could you imagine if I was like only watched your championship fights illegally?
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
I never got mad at those people either.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But you never get mad at anybody. Here's my test. So Tito Ortiz, right? That last fight that you had with that dude.
He's a douchebag.
Do you think that he has like made it even in some way, or do you think that Chuck that he beat was not even a Chuck?
Yeah,
and you don't know who the real champion of the world.
One of the reasons I thought fighting was a good idea at all. Yeah. I didn't really like doing it. I actually fought against it because I didn't really like. I didn't want to give him any attention.
You're saying this is the last fight.
The last fight. Okay. Yeah. It was kind of in my mind, it was like, hey, you know, I'm thinking about making another run and doing fights, right?
Okay.
And this is my test. If I can't beat him, I probably should stay retired.
Okay. Because you always found him to be nowhere near as good as you.
There was nowhere, like, styles make fights and everything, right?
Yeah.
He couldn't beat me in a wrestling match. He wouldn't beat me in a jiu-jitsu match.
So that ruins.
And he's scared to death of me striking. Right. So there's nothing.
Do you think that he could have done better against you the first two times if he wasn't so scared? Because he looked like he flinched you a lot.
No.
I'm not saying I wouldn't either. Just saying it looked like he definitely
1,000%.
The reason I
had less confidence in himself, it seemed.
Yep.
No. Because every time we trained together, I beat him up.
He already knew for sure.
There's nothing he could do to me.
So this was kind of an inevitable thing.
He couldn't stay on top of me. From when he started on top of me, he couldn't stay. I could be out every 30 seconds for 5 minutes.
So that's in the back of his head, just going forward.
Like, I can't take him down. He never took me down striking. I beat him. Take the one who take downs. I always kept track.
Do you have
16 to 2?
Do you have a certain thing that gets you up off him that works on him every time? Like, what is it? You can say it now, right?
His style of wrestling.
Yeah.
He's a bully style. Like, he like tries to muscle you and kind of bully you in the moves.
Keeps you in guard, right?
He bullies you on stand-up, right? Like, he bullies you on takedowns. He's kind of like that muscle, trying to muscle a guy. You're not going to out-muscle. You're not going to muscle me and outdo that. I love guys like that. You're going to have to – slick guys are a little harder for me.
Right.
The wrestling.
Okay.
On the ground, I just have a good half guard, and he tries to sit there. He tries to sit back and just stay in guard, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'll stand up. I just pull my leg out. If he lets go of my leg, if he's not keeping my leg, I just stand up.
Oh, okay. So he's either not doing anything or you're getting
up. If he's trying to stay, he's trying to just sit in your guard and so he can ground and pound, right? I don't sit in the guard. I'm not going to sit in the closed guard. I'm always pushing on your head.
I understand that's your motive. I just feel like sometimes, I mean, I that's my motive, but sometimes somebody just holds me down because they've got my number.
Yeah.
It's just weird to know that he just did not have.
Yeah, well,
he couldn't hold you down.
He couldn't hold me down at all. I got really good at doing a few different things. I had a kind of a push pull system on the bottom that really was hard for people because it was different than what they were seeing. Because most jiu-jitsu guys do jiu-jitsu on the ground. They're trained to, and so I'd be doing some same move that they're used to seeing. Like I rolled a knee bar, right?
Yeah.
And they think I'm going for their countering the knee bar. Well, then halfway through, I pull my leg out and hip ice. Like, oh shit, fuck. So he's standing up again.
So knowing that you were handling him in training, did that,
that
obviously
that
give you?
That boy didn't want to fight me.
But it gave you an edge, but
that's the whole thing why he didn't want to fight me.
Did
I
so when
trying
you
to say and like
did you want to fight him when you knew
like, yeah,
the
that's
whole
what
time
I was gonna
were
ask.
You like when you were beating him in sparring, did you go
no.
Isn't that crazy that you have the belt and I'm obviously the fucking champion
yeah,
of the
yeah,
world? Because
yeah.
isn't that not
a 1,000%?
As long as he understood once we got there we're gonna fight. I
did you
care.
Guys ever talk about that before you actually fought when you were friends?
No,
did you
we
ever
train together. Look, we weren't like he made
you were never friends.
I liked him. I was an okay guy. But he's like, if you talk to him, he took me on the street, trained me, and then I turned on.
Look, I never believed. I mean, I never believed
said,
a lot of things he says.
He slept on my couch and
but
he
you
ate
were,
my wife.
You were cool with him, like you
I
were,
was cool. Yeah, I came to help him out. I came to help.
His sparring partner.
You know how we met? When we met, Scott. You know who Scott Adams is?
Sounds familiar.
He started the WEC. He fought 8 times. He's 8-0. He leg locked Ian Freeman.
He's legit as fuck.
Eight wins, 8 leg locks. He's a leg lock machine. He went down, was rolling with Cito down in Huntington.
Yeah.
And he was going to fight Frank Shamrock.
He got
Scott,
you for Shamrock.
So yeah, because Scott tapped him about 15 times in 5 minutes.
Oh, shit.
Training with him, leg locks. So Scott was going back down to train with him. He goes, hey, I'm going to bring Chuck down because you need sparring too, right? You want Chuck to spar. Let Chuck come down and spar with you. And so that's how it started. So I came down to spar with him. The funny thing is.
Wait a minute. Just real quick. You're saying that the UFC light heavyweight champion of the world had a ground guy that just constantly tapped him over and over again with leg locks, and then they hired a striking guy and it was you?
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine being the champion of the world and your training camp is these two dudes that just spank the shit out of you at your thing you're the world champion at? That's like pressure on its way. You know what I mean? Like, he'd be like, right, I've got Shamrock, but he's obviously down the...
Coming up next, yeah.
Dude, this is how bad it was in his head, right? So I came down one time. It was two days of training we were going to do. We came to sparring the first day. And I dropped him the body shot, which was I did regularly. Because I was sparred. You hit hard to the body, and I take it easy on your head.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to hurt you. You got a fight coming up. So I dropped him the body. So then he doesn't, I did with a spinning back kick. I dropped him with a spinning back kick. So we have two more stand-up sessions. Because we were going to be there for 2 days and one more workout before I had to go back home. He showed up to the first sparring workout. Didn't show up the next two. He had things he had to do.
Oh,
so I'm like, well, I'm here.
Did he know you could wrestle as well at that time?
He knew I wrestled, yeah. But we went to the wrestling practice after that, right? So I took him down 4 times. He took me down.
God.
I took him down 4 times. He didn't take me down any of that day. The first day.
Wow.
And he was frustrated. And he's home and he's talking. He was like, I know what you did. I'll just. Attacking too hard. I'm going to lay back and do this. He's talking to himself. So, and by the way, I'm staying in his house and his wife's feeding me food because he didn't get me and sleeping on his couch because he didn't get me a hotel room. I come down to spar with him.
She's fueling his ass whoopings.
By the way, we weren't making any money back then at all. So I did all right. I had a bartender and I had a gym. So I was okay. I was okay, but if I can ask someone to stay, I'm not going to waste money at a hotel. So, but he makes out like he was helping me out. Like, no, I'm helping you out. You're not paying for a hotel.
Yeah.
So, so we go back the next night. I took him down 4 times in a row. And then right at the end, we're at the edge, and he's got my foot. My foot's on the thing. And it's like right as the bell goes, he's like, he grabs, I got that one. I'm like, okay, just say so, whatever. But I mean, he had my ankles. He had both ankles. I mean, he hadn't gonna come out, but I still have my hand on his head.
I feel sorry for him.
I still have my hand on his head. And
this
he's
is like a,
It's a little sad.
Yeah, I don't feel like I want to. I don't want to jump on this at all. I feel like,
by the way,
maybe Tito did deserve to beat your ass one time. I mean, goddamn, man.
The next takedown, the only other takedown,
just owned him for like a decade.
Oh yeah, slept on his couch.
The only other takedown he got.
Ate his food.
The only other takedown he got,
where he just humiliated.
We were out in Vegas. He was out training in Vegas. The only other takedown he got. I showed up after going out one night. I showed up after going out one night to go train with him.
Oh God.
I took him down 8 times, and he kept going at the end, and he kept running. And I was so gassed. I'm like, oh, yeah. Right. 8-1. I mean, like, those are the 2 takedowns he's got on me his whole career. Never took me down where striking was involved.
Was it hard to be motivated to fight him?
No.
After demoralizing him? Yeah. Oh, okay, so it was more like that?
Because I knew he never shut the fuck up.
What about being angry and gassing out? Do you worry about that?
I'm not angry when I fight. That helped me train.
Oh.
I'm not an emotional fighter.
So when you punched him, what about when...
I'm trying to...
When he started doing this and you started that, those last pieces, you weren't...
I get excited.
Okay, is that what it was?
I get excited.
A little aggressive, but hey.
the sad thing is, I don't have to be mad at you to try to kill you.
Yeah. It is sad. Yeah. Sad for everybody else.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Because, I mean, emotion clouds judgment.
Yes.
Yeah.
You make mistakes.
Even in fighting.
Yeah, in fighting it does.
Do you get scared at all?
No.
Not at all.
I actually was thinking it was so funny with the face downs, the face offs where they're trying to intimidate you.
Yeah.
And like Tito was trying to intimidate me in a face off. I'm like, looking at him like,
I've beaten you like 75 times.
Yeah. I had your wife's meatloaf 2 days ago.
Know me.
Wow.
So you know me. You heard the story about when I had a talk with him at what was that name? Cunningham's, one of the bars Cunningham was doing. Anyway, there was an after party after Tito fought Vitor Belfort.
Yeah.
Right? Before that, on a radio interview in San Diego, my buddies played for the Chargers, and they called me. He went on a radio interview. No, I don't date white trash bitches like Chuck. And I was pissed. And Huntington knew I was pissed. Everybody that I knew I was pissed. We were at the same club after this fight. I don't play that game.
Like, are you happy I asked this question?
I don't play that game. So Huntington comes up to me and goes, "Bro, I'm worried about your guys fighting his guys.
Oh yeah,
you're cool, but I'm worried about this. Can you squash us with him?" And I said, "Okay." And Vin Diesel was with him trying to broker us being. I'm like, "Dude, we're good, bro. Let me talk to him." So I went to him and said, "Okay. First off, it's my girlfriend. Apologize. Secondly,
that was the right move.
You ever talk about my friends or my family on a radio interview again? I swear to God, I know where you live. I'm gonna come and beat you in your fucking living room. You got that?" And he's like, "Oh no, I'm sorry. I was talking about Juliette Lewis." I'm like, "Cause Us Magazine said me and Juliette Lewis were lady."
Nice.
By the way,
did you bind her or something?
I kissed her when I you want to know what? I left her because I was trying to help my buddy get laid.
Bullshit.
I swear to God.
No, you weren't.
I swear to God.
No, you weren't. You're not that. No, I wasn't.
I'm not buying that either.
Wait, you had Juliette Lewis in the bone zone, and you were like, "Wait, you need help?"
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll be right there, Craig. As much as I wanted to give it to you right now, I got to go.
He was right there. I regret the decision.
Wait, he was with you?
He was with it, and there was a couple girls over here, and he wasn't going to get him without me.
But you were with Juliette Lewis.
Had
he never had sex with anybody in his life or something?
He needed help all the time.
Get help tomorrow.
Yeah.
I regretted that decision.
For you.
We all regret it. That would have been a great story.
By the way, I bought Tito.
It's a great memoir.
You idiot. She plays white trash girls on TV. She's an actress. She's an actress. You moron.
Anyway. Wait, okay, so you saying,
but
that,
like, people said in Us Magazine that we're dating. I was on, listen, Us Magazine, we're dating. We did a, right before one of my fights, she was on the same show I was on. And we talked, we said hi. And then, so when they came to her, she went to my fight, And then when I came to her, she's like, who do you want to win? And she's like, oh, Chuck, because I was the only one she met. Yeah. It's probably the only one she knew.
Yeah, you know? Until so, she needs
so,
to know.
So then the UFC on purpose sat her next to me at the next fight I was at.
Oh, and then everyone jumped on that bandwagon.
I think it was Us Weekly.
Sounds about right, yeah.
They said we were dating, so that's where that came from.
Wow. Thanks for setting the record straight that you
were
wingman.
I reckon he's lying. I reckon he gave it to her. Probably got to do it because some other relationship.
Honestly, I wish.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, let's just assume.
I can't. I wish I could say that, but no.
Wait, so you said that you've no emotion when you're fighting. So, Jay, you're training right now for a fight that's going to come up.
Yeah, I'm a bitch.
Everybody's different.
Though. I'm scared. I can admit it.
Like, Tito's one of those guys, apparently, so did the same thing. Like, trying to, before I weigh in, I'm looking, I fought Jose Pele Jones in Brazil, right?
Yeah.
And the weigh-ins are in like a locker room. And there's no one around. And he's with two of his buddies and he runs and throws his shoulder at him and ducks. And he's still speaking English. I'm looking at him, hey, we're fighting tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, we're fighting no holds barred tomorrow. Bare knuckles.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, tomorrow. Get paid. I'm not going to fight you here.
Okay. I'm not scared of facing off with anybody. But then, I just care so much about winning. Because I don't care about getting hurt. I only care about winning. Yeah. I'm not worried about getting hurt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm just worried about winning.
At any cost.
Fuck it.
Look, here's the thing, though, too. It's healthy. I'm not saying that it's unhealthy. Like, I get up for fights. It's just I don't need that to get up.
Right.
Some people do. They need to feel
that. I don't want to need it. I think it's a little bit embarrassing, quite frankly. You're going to have a cage fight and you're scared. Maybe you should not have a cage fight, you pussy. Totally,
yeah.
Like, that's what I feel like I should tell myself.
It's different if you're scared of losing or scared of getting hurt. Those are two different.
If you're scared of getting hurt, then you've got crazy issues.
Shouldn't be there.
I used to always think, the problem with that guy striking, he doesn't like to get hit. And everyone's like, oh, no one likes to get hit. Well, that's not what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like to get hit. I'm just saying, but when you hit me, my thoughts are, okay, that motherfucker hit me, I'm going to hit back. Like, not, oh, shit, I got hit. Get out of the way.
When's the last fight you were in that was going to be, like, promoted and set up and scheduled? Like, this one coming up with Luis J. Gomez, the comedian.
The last real fight I had was King of the Cage, like, 3 years ago.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Is that, I mean, you guys told me, is that a long time to have in between matches?
Well, the fight before that was 10 years.
Whoa.
I've only had two pro MMA fights.
Yeah.
So, and I've never, I don't do it for... I just do it because I train with all these dudes and I'm like,
it's awesome.
You're not a fucking real fighter if you don't have a real fight, you know? And then I just wanted to keep going until I got a test, which is the King of the Cage thing was enough for me. I got almost knocked out in the first round and I couldn't see him and I just heard the ooh, and I'm like, oh God, this is probably the end.
Oh,
and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, there's his head. And I, you know, I mean, scrambled and I ended up like surviving and winning that fight. But I remember thinking, well, you're not a pussy, you know, like you got caught in everything that was bad. You got smacked in the face to the point where you didn't know where you were and you didn't go, oh, I want out. I was like, I'm going to find this motherfucker and I'm going to get him.
Wow.
So I was done. I don't need to do another fight.
Yeah.
Because there's no, you can't be old like
you checked
me
all the boxes.
Yeah, and all the skateboard injuries. I blew my knees out so many times. But then I got a knee replacement and then this comedian dude just called me out and it was like a real... I didn't want to do it,
you know,
man.
You know Lewis pretty well?
I didn't know Lewis that well, but I'd know... I mean, he'd fought at Alice Mania, and he seemed cool to me. I just thought it was... I tried to fight Kyle Kingsbury. I tried to fight him twice because I was like, next time I could get you.
Why?
In a boxing fight, but still why? I know. Because things get out of hand, Chuck. I beat that Gabe Rudiger guy, and everyone was like, dude, you beat a UFC fighter. And then it escalated... You know, then it turned into Shane Carmen with one hand. That story, he called me and was like, hey, I want to be at an Alice Mania. And I was like, yeah, we should fight. I just don't know how it would work considering you're a murdering machine and I'm not. So then he blew, he hurt his arm and he wasn't supposed to tell anybody. So I said, let's have a one-arm boxing fight. And he's like, what, you versus me? And I go, yeah. And he goes, you sure? And I was like, yeah, fucking whatever, dude. It happens. So we comes to Vegas. He's got his family.
He hits like a truck.
We go to fucking Pink Taco and have friendly tacos. He's my friend. We've been talking for a couple of years now. Next day, fight comes. I get in the boxing ring, and he's in there bright red. He's red. And he's, as soon as I walk in, I bounce over to him like, hey. And he's like, and I'm like, wait, what happened? What happened? Not joking. And then I look at my corner. Everybody in the corner is terrified because Shane is angry. And then I found out years later, Shane said, his coach goes, do you know why you're here? And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, you know, Ellis set you up. And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, this is a setup, dude. This is him getting you to have one hand. He's going to land a shot on you. He's going to put it on YouTube and show that he can knock out Shane Carwin. So Carwin had that talk before he got in the ring to fight. My little, come on, man. Hey, I have nowhere near.
How did you convince him of that?
Yeah.
Like, you could have told me, I would have laughed at you if you told me that.
For sure.
If you fight me and you say that and someone said, he's going to come out there and knock you out of that way, I'd be like, really? Like, if he could knock me out, he deserves to have it.
Uh-huh.
Shane didn't think that. Shane did not think that. He said to himself, oh, hell no, I'm going to fucking beat this dude's ass for that. And I could see it the whole time. So every punch at one point I had his arm locked. He had his other arm duct taped. I had his arm locked and he leaned up against me at the ropes and I went, as a joke on the side of his face, because I had his arm trapped.
Yeah.
I was like, I could fucking smash it, but I was like, ah, ha, ha. And then we break free, and he goes, whoa! And I'm like, what was that? Jab with everything coming at me, and I'm like, what? You're not... And then I'd get around it and look at him, and he'd be like, still... And I'm like, wait, dude, this is a show.
Yeah.
I'm like, I knew in the end I was going to get hurt, but it was... He definitely took... He got me surprised. I thought we were going to move around and eventually I was going to get stung.
Right.
Everybody, yay, entertaining.
Yep.
But to me,
he had different motives.
He did that thing that I told you at the start where if you're angry at me, it's different. I'm like, wait, what? Like, are you deadly serious? Like, if you're deadly serious, I'm fucking deadly serious. And I don't like being like that.
So you can adjust if that's, like, if Louis J, I mean, do you know his level of...
I know he trains every day. He's got all kinds of MMA people. Bisbing's helping him out. I know he's doing all kinds of shit. But I also know firsthand what it's like to be an average bear in a game of fucking lions. Like, I am the joke of MMA. Mm. Like, I'm a guy that had pro fights when I remember getting my license and they said how old I am. And everyone goes down the table like, this guy just said 35. You know, and then the last time I got my license, I was... 48 or something, 47.
And you're how old now?
49. I'll be 50 when I fight him.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
Right, but it's not. But I. That's
all
why.
All the extra tests and stuff was crazy.
It's a nightmare.
They gave mine for mine, like when I fought Tito.
Yeah, did they give you all the tests?
They did a surprise. They had me do a piss test.
They came to your house.
Yeah, they also pissed at me at a fight. I went to watch a fight and that. And they
pissed at you while you were there?
Can you twice?
Is it illegal?
Fuck you guys.
No,
they
can
do whatever they
want.
But whatever, right? I passed. But like the guy, they did a surprise neuro. Like I was like, what? Like I passed a neuro. Like I know I'm 48 and I haven't fought in 10 years, but.
What is the overall testing? What does it look like?
The neuro was
interesting. They brain scan
The funny thing is like I didn't really realize till after I went to Bio Accelerator later, and because I said my neck kind of hurts, you know, and they're like,
my neck kind of hurts. Tell the whole story about if you close your eyes, you fell over. There's some weird thing going on with my neck. When I close my eyes, I just fucking pass out. Okay,
I'll tell the whole story. All right.
You ever get a concussion in the shower?
Fucking maniac.
My neck hurts a little bit sometimes. They're like, you want something else in there? I'm like, okay, but they're like, let's get an MRI. So. They took the MRI and they look at them. Have you ever had anybody look at that before? I said, no. I said, are you having problems with your balance and coordination?
Yeah.
I said, no. Why?
Yeah. Oh, wait, you said
no? I said no because I didn't know.
Like, what do you mean you didn't know? You did know.
No, I didn't know that
before. Oh.
I was like, no, because you're in denial. You're a fighter.
Of course.
I got no fucking problems.
Yeah, everything's fine.
I got no problems. I'm fine.
What about when you get a little wobbly? You didn't feel like, hey, man.
To be honest, when I look back, I just thought, well, it's been 10 years since I fought. Maybe I'm just not as good anymore.
Right.
I just said, I can get through it.
Wow.
That's kind of what I thought. And why this came up is like, I'm doing that neuro, right? And they have you stand there, you know, one of the things they have me do is go like this on one foot and go like this, right? And I couldn't do it. I had to figure out I was tired, so I just go like this. no problem. I just, I open, I kept my eyes open and pass.
I figured I was tired. So, there's a time to be tough and there's a time to not be. But, you know,
so, so I came back and I wasn't.
I swear.
So funny, they say that about, right? And they told me go right and
must
get it done.
Must be because of time.
You, you need to go right and get it done when you get home. Like that.
You need what? Said,
bioaccelerator guys told me to go to your doctor and have them look at it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, whatever. A month and a half later, my wife goes, you know what? You are having problems. You're not. Your balance and coordination is off.
Oh, wow.
Something's wrong.
She noticed.
Yeah. And I said, okay. So we went to the doctor. So again, he has an MRI. Comes out. He goes, so the first thing he says, sit down. So you're having problems with your balance and coordination. What the fuck is wrong with people?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. Quit so calling me out,
goes,
doc.
And he goes, really?
Wait, how did she detect that you were couldn't balance
she
and you
she
couldn't?
She noticed it. Why would
you guys fight each other or something? She noticed you couldn't like get up front tapes going or something.
I've always been clumsy growing up.
But she noticed it.
She noticed. So let's go get it checked. So I went. So he said, "Go stand on the other side of the room." Okay, he walks me hotel. Okay, now move back. Now close your eyes and do it. And I swear to God, I went like this. We had no problem. Well, I'm good. Hold on.
Yeah, let me do it again.
I'm like, I don't. He's like, okay, now stand on one foot. Close your eyes.
Whoa! Right down?
I couldn't balance on one foot.
Holy shit!
What were you not doing that whole time to find out? What do you mean? You never closed your eyes?
I just correct with my eyes. I correct my balance with my eyes, and I just didn't notice.
But you didn't. Were you not doing any exercise or anything?
I was doing exercise. I was training for a fight, like that. I think it got progressively worse. And stepping up the training for 9 months to get ready for that fight wore it out the rest of the way. Because what it was is a wear and tear. I'd worn out that thing right in my brain. My spine was tapping, it was sliding and tapping.
So you didn't catch it the whole training camp. You didn't catch that.
I assumed. I thought it had been tender. Maybe it was.
Did anyone say to you that you were like looking a little messy?
I wasn't training with anybody that I used to train with.
Do you think that when you look back at your shadow boxing videos and stuff that that's not you?
Well, I look at you.
What? I swear. I was saying it. He didn't look like him.
Now that I look
what's those weight things? The hand weights. He was like, yeah, check out these new hand weights. And I'm like, what the fuck? Shadow boxing is, that's not how he does it. You look different.
It makes sense. No, looking back, it makes sense. As soon as you're like, oh, okay. Because now that makes more sense. Because I'm like, how would these, I guess, be like, man, I used to be so much better at this, but okay, fuck it.
So Jay's training, you were telling us the guys that you have that are kicking it with you and like pushing you and kind of a rotating,
Shark Tank thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I get a lot of knowledge, but then at the end of the day, I got to do a bunch of grappling rounds because I'm a, you know, it's weird saying it in front of him. I'm more of a stand-up fighter. But, you know what I mean? So grappling rounds.
Right.
When I grapple for a long period of time and then when I get up, I'm gassed. Like, I'm like, holy shit. Like, that's not the same as, like, throwing strikes with people. Well, so I'm trying to do a lot of that. So I'm trying to get ready for worst case scenario because I feel like if you don't do that, I owe it to myself to be ready for the best he has that I don't even expect him to have.
This could be the last one you do, right?
For people,
Scott, unless like I don't know, what is it? CM Punk is like, Ellis, you mean I'm calling you out? I'd be like, fuck yeah, deal.
Wow,
I'll do that. But I don't see how it makes any more sense.
Yeah.
Jake Paul,
there. Someone called that about fighting. Are you done fighting? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but Ariel Helwani called me.
Like, you should fight him.
He
would love to watch that. Chuck Liddell and Ariel Helwani fight.
Yes, please.
I mean, come on, man. Put your money where your mouth is, Ariel.
There's your Ariel cam right there, yeah.
I'm not doing that.
I heard a rumor they're paying you $10 million to fight Tyson. Is that true? I said, they haven't talked to me, but if they got $10 million, I'll fight Tyson.
In MMA?
No.
In boxing.
Holy shit, I would watch the fuck out of that, dude.
Yeah, my
everybody would.
I said, and actually, I was being funny, but I said, for $10 million, I fight him and Roy Jones at the same time.
Oh, man. We got that on tape.
So would I.
$10
million? Do you guys know what $10 million is?
No.
Like, think about how many times he's been kicked and hit in the. Like, no offense to both those guys, but you can only knock me out one time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So knock me out one time.
Great. Cash in.
Give me 10 million.
Give me shit about it. I've taken enough beating.
Yeah.
I mean, one more time. I mean, I got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
In boxing.
A couple of brain cells.
Don't
they grow back if you smoke weed? Yeah.
Oh, you can't balance on one foot and close your eyes. Who gives a shit?
We fix that.
We fixed that.
I got that fixed.
Yeah, okay, okay.
But you know, but like for me, like, and I've got nothing to lose. In boxing, I had nothing to lose. And people ask, if I fight Tyson, I'll beat Tyson in a street fight.
Yeah.
All right? Sorry. He's got, you know, he's got one shot on the way out. When I'm closing the distance, if he has to knock me out. So if I close that distance, it is over. I'll put him on his back. I'll never
get. You don't think he has like a sprawl or anything?
No. Not good. Not good.
You don't know. Tyson could be like a fucking street grappler, motherfucker.
Not good enough.
Underhook fucking. Not even Chuck Liddell.
Not good enough for even a mediocre Division One wrestler.
All right. Wait, you know this to be factual. You don't know his wrestling pedigree.
I actually know he doesn't wrestle. Yes.
Right. Okay.
And he's actually an MMA fan. He's a great dude. I'm not saying that. He's not going to fight that because he's not. He's not. Right. But I mean.
Well, again, then I could take again, him to a street fight. I just realized. Tyson, what's up?
There you go.
Alleyway fight, pay per view.
Behind the Denny's.
Yeah. I reckon La Brea. Sure. Look, if he gets that lucky shot at the start, sure, I might be in a bit of trouble.
Wait, were you into fighting in Melbourne? That's where you grew up, right?
Yeah.
Was it big there?
I got beat up in Melbourne, but really? I wasn't into fighting. No, I was
beat up in school or what?
Yeah, I got beat up by everybody. I never won a fight. I think maybe I won one fight out of the front of a nightclub where my chick was super hot. She was like a penthouse pet and everybody wanted to fuck her because skateboarders are losers. And this was like the hottest chick on the in Melbourne. And they were all nice to her. And I was always making fun of them because I knew that they really, you know, when you're in the friend zone, but it ain't really the friend zone. Yes. I knew what they were doing. You all would fuck her if she wanted to behind my back. So fuck all you guys.
Honestly, my wife used to have that. My guy friend. They're
not your friends,
right?
They're friends. They're cool guys. I like them. But if you said let's go,
yeah, would they go?
They're going.
Oh
and
man,
they know that.
And even though, by the way, they will take a beating from me.
Yeah.
To go if they probably do it before.
Yeah.
I'm like,
and they know that. Wait, so you?
It is what it is.
My wife, all she has to do is ask. It's a different game over here. But yeah. But if I don't like them,
no.
So
what
where are
you talking about?
Well, so far I was asking, getting into it in Melbourne.
We have a lot of similarities.
Yeah, we do. Fuck yeah, Chucky.
What were even your
living the best life is what we're doing.
What were you doing in Melbourne? Like, what was keeping you just on top of life and interested?
My passion to be a skateboarder.
Yeah, that was it.
All I did all
I was
day.
Driving everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
I used to make half pipes out of my mashed potatoes and do skate lines
it's
my head all day. I was going to make it to America. I was going to make it out of this shithole and be a pro skateboarder like Lance Mountain and Tony Hawk. And now I do a podcast with Tony Hawk.
That's
and I
fucking
skate
crazy,
with Tony,
dude.
By myself with
the
Tony
Hawk. The funny thing
Hawk,
is, that, but that's, that, but you got to understand fly, for man. Stuff like, for sports especially and stuff like that, it's just... People ask me, like, I didn't really get it until I saw this show where this kid, he's playing piano, he's 8 years old, and they're interviewing him because he's, like, super piano player. So how many hours a day do you practice? And the kid went, huh? What do you mean? How many hours a day? Like, I don't know, I just play.
Right.
Like, oh, that's kind of it. Like, when I was growing up, I go to wrestling practice and then go to karate.
Right.
I do extra stuff, so I do stuff at lunch and at our next nutrition, so I do homework during those times, so I'd have extra time to go to karate and learn what it looks. I love doing it. I wanted to do this. So, I mean, I think it makes a big difference for when you really want to do something. You have to work that hard.
Fuck yeah. Was getting out of Australia like a big, like, break that down to us, like what that means to get to America.
It's skateboarding's fault. The only reason I cared about America is because you had Tony Hawk lived here.
Yeah.
So I heard about this guy before there was even a magazine. There was a dude named Tony Hawk that could do finger flips. And I'm like, get the fuck, that's impossible. How's that even possible? And then I saw a photo, then I saw a video, and then all these Lance Mountain and all these. To me, meeting Tony Hawk would be better than meeting Elvis Presley. Like, So all I wanted to do was get there. And those
figure
are my people.
Yeah.
I was right. When I got here, it was my people.
Yeah. This is my one Tony Hawk story. So for that. I'm going to I talked to my son lives with his mom, my oldest son, and I talked to him into going to this. When I brought him to Viewer's Choice, and I said, look, man, if you walk the red carpet with me, I'll introduce you to Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
And I know he's there, and I haven't been able to find him the whole time. I'm going, look, I tell people, look, I need Tony Hawk right now. Tell me where he's at. I need to find him. My son, I promise my son he's going to meet him. Where's he at?
And then someone heard, then Tony, he, someone no, tells Tony Chuck Liddell is looking for Tony Hawk.
No, Tony Chuck Liddell was on his way out, grabbing a bag.
Hey, man, Chuck Liddell's looking for you. Seems kind of pissed.
He goes, hey, Chuck, how you doing? My son goes, like, looked at her and looked at me like, all of a sudden, I was cool. Because Tony Hawk.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
He didn't really get anything else about me. He'd seen me on TV fighting, but it didn't matter. Tony Hawk knew I was the coolest guy in the world.
Wow.
It was like,
I still get off. I still roll off that. I feel like that's my bonkers. I've got a successful podcast. It's got nothing to do with me. Tony Hawk's on it. I'm just like, hey.
Yeah, so you did the Jason Ellis show for how long? 15?
15 years, yeah. On Sirius XM.
Yeah, it it was great. I guess. Well, Chuck wasn't a big fan, but you know,
fucking asshole.
He has bad taste. He thinks Air Bud 6 is a fucking Academy Award winning, which actually, wow. That's a bad example. It is great, but the experience you got from that obviously is like bleeding into this new show with Tony, yeah? Like,
yeah, well, no, I still do the Jason Ellis show.
You do,
as well.
Yeah.
So the Jason Ellis show, when we got dropped from Sirius XM, panic button, set up, made a studio, got into podcasting, lined up all the things you're supposed to do when you're a podcaster, and now that hustle is just, that's my day-to-day. We do a Patreon thing as well, so because we have a lot of hardcore fans that SiriusXM subscribers that left Sirius to subscribe to our Patreon.
Whoa.
So we didn't, I had ex-wives and shit, like, I didn't have any money. Like, when they fired me, I was making, like, over $1 million a year, and when they fired me, I didn't have any money. Like, not money to buy a new, like, we were like, oh, new business that makes $1 million a year. Make it right now. And I'm like, right now is going to be difficult. Let's say maybe suck a dick for, like, a year or two, and then maybe we'll get somewhere back there.
Get back on top.
But it's different for me. I'm like, oh no, not as much money. I'm like, I already had a taste of money and people recognizing me. And I know that's just bullshit. You know, the important thing is, am I having a good day? Am I being a good person to the people that I care about?
Are you satisfied creatively?
I've been in a lot of therapy and shit. I was angry, man. Like, I spent a lot of years just being dark at nothing. You know, I didn't even have a reason, just super pissed off.
I'm sure you had a reason, you just didn't want to tackle it, right?
Oh, I totally had a reason, but you have to go to therapy to find out about all that stuff, which is a podcast I don't want to get into.
Yeah.
But sure. I'm here now, and I'm happy sometimes for no fucking reason, and I'm very excited about that.
Hang your head on that.
It seems like the podcast is getting big, and then the Hawk versus Wolf podcast is big. It, like, got big. It's the third one that's already big, so I'm... Once again, I'm like, fuck off. This is really happening?
Yeah.
Because it's all gravy to me. It's all extra.
Are you good when things are in a good place?
That's one of those things, too. Like, for me, like, same thing. I don't need a lot.
Right.
I
got into a lot. Sorry, but I think at one point I was... I know you don't really floss that much, Chuck. There was a little bit there where I was like, yeah, fucking... How much is the expensive one? I'll take one of those. You know what I mean? I was always doing that kind of flex, and now I'm...
You don't regret that time, though, right?
I don't.
Yeah. You're just glad you're not...
Hey, if you like it and have fun doing it, I got buddies that, like, hey, if you like that,
go.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't buy a sports car if I didn't live for sports cars. Like, if if all of a sudden you make $10 million a year, don't buy a Lamborghini. You'll probably hate it.
Yeah.
By the way, like, I loved having my Ferrari.
You have a Ferrari?
I don't have it. I sold it. I had the kids. I didn't never get to drive it anymore.
How long did you keep it?
I kept it from, what was that, 05-ish to about 2013, maybe?
Did you ever go flat out naked with your wife?
Now I think
you should probably get one again, right?
I might have to get one again.
So you didn't...
I wasn't going to get one again.
Did you bone on it? Is that too much of a question?
We can edit in the right answer.
What about allegedly?
Allegedly, maybe.
Because you got her. I rented a Lamborghini and fucked my wife upside down all over that fucking
thing. Did you really?
Yeah, yeah. I drove it too, but we fucking smashed on that thing.
When Dana
I got my guns out and shit.
Dana and
crazy pictures?
Dana and
video,
Dana,
man. Yeah. Bitches.
Those stupid fucking questions.
Best gift ever, by the way, because it's one of those things I would have never bought it myself, but I loved having it.
What?
The Ferrari.
Oh.
Dana surprised
me. Is it over? You can't get back on that?
Oh, I mean, I'm right now. But
Ferrari Chuck is a Chuck I want to get to.
Right?
Yeah.
By the way, I never would have bought it.
It would make sense that he got out of a Ferrari.
Yes.
What kind of car do you get out of?
I was like, I still have
Let me guess. It's a truck. Is that a truck?
Is it?
Wait, you still have it?
The one they gave me for the.
Oh wow, you're like Forrest Griffin. You just keep like old shits around.
No, they're actually my buddy's gonna do like a Pimp My Ride with it because he just bought a.
Oh cool.
He bought an off-road.
So much smarter.
Yeah.
He bought like a off-road shopping one online, like a YouTube, like Pimp My Ride with it. So I'm stoked. I'm now I'm gonna have to
trick it out for you. Yeah.
I got to bring up the Aaron Carter thing. That's why I text Chuck.
Great. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
He's like, man, I trade. This is bullshit. Yeah. Right. I was pissed.
Pissed about what?
Well, I feel I'm not pissed about me, my part. And it's my that's my coach.
And Aaron Carter?
No.
Oh. Yeah, Aaron Carter's coach.
Josh Pollitt is my coach.
Oh, wow.
And he was coaching Aaron Carter.
Okay.
And so at one point, Josh and I were talking about how he's going to beat Lamar Odom. And he's got to show up. He's got to get cardio because he's going to have to move out of the way. But he could win. Like, this guy's not that good. He's really tall, but if you put in the work and had the cardio, you could win this fight. It's not a complete, you have no chance.
Wow.
So we were really trying, and then the more we tried, the more he stopped coming to practice, making up excuses. And I'm, you know, for me, it was.
You could tell early on.
Well, I, you know,
not
I,
committed.
When he first met me, he was like, oh man, I've been watching all your videos. I'm definitely studying you. And I'm like, dude, that's not a good idea. Like, I appreciate the compliment, but fucking watch somebody who's pro on YouTube.
Right.
But I could definitely tell he wanted to like bro down. But I liked him. I had him on the show because he's my coach's guy.
Yes.
So I had him on, and he said some stuff where I was like, man, I don't really find that to be factual. But I didn't say anything. Unlike Chuck, you know me, if you're on the Jason L. show and you spin shit, I'll call you out.
Good.
But for this one, I was like, oh, okay, Michael Jackson's cool. Sure, fucking maybe he is cool.
Yeah, totally,
like,
totally, same thing.
Goddamn Michael Jackson jacket, he tells everybody, like, fuck off.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, who cares I didn't if he know. Got a fucking jacket? It's
yeah, see,
even,
my mind was blown. They told me you smoked weed with him?
Yeah, that was on my podcast as well.
Yeah,
but you know, I've heard that from somebody else told me I do the podcast with him. Like, I wanted to ask questions, but I kind of felt bad. And
See, that's how I was. Until I watched your show where he said, you know, Josh just trying to use me for this or that. And I'm like, okay, I was there when the text messages were going on. And my coach said, you got to show up. If you don't show up, I'm not going to be your coach because I'm not training you to lose. I'm training you to win. And then he sent back some other excuse. And Josh said, it's not worth it to me if you're going to be like that. Then he sends this big thing about, fuck you, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like switches. Total 180 and start spracking off. And I'm like, man, what a you crazy idiot. We were just trying to help you, dude.
Fuck.
And then he tells everybody that my coach got his ribs and his wrist broken in a sparring thing against a semi-pro. What's a semi-pro boxer? I didn't even know that was a thing. But it's the dude's a chef, first of all. The dude that punched him in the stomach is a chef. And he's not fucking pro at any. He's a fucking chef.
He
doesn't do any boxing.
He goes
there on the weekends. Like,
is he a pro chef?
He's a professional chef, yeah.
Is he at least that? Yeah.
He gets paid
to
cook. So if that's dangerous, then watch out. So he gets hit in the stomach because he's tired because he doesn't train. And it's a stomach shot. We all get stomach. I'll send you the video. I posted it. But then he said that my coach tried to get him hurt on purpose, and that's now I'm like, okay, that you if a lot of people believe that, you're taking food off one of my dear friends'
the credibility
table,
of the guy
and
I'm
not cool with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to come to his defense, especially
because
I spent time trying to help you. I had you on the show trying to
build you up.
Yeah, like I had your back the whole time when you were spinning shit. I was like, yeah, cool, man. Like, at least you're going to win this fight because you're on our team. We're going to make it
work. Yeah, that's you can't take advantage of that.
And he just keeps telling everybody that my coach did a bad deal. And
I said if someone does that to you, you just can't be that guy.
Yeah, look, I wasn't affecting me at all until I heard him say it. I'm like, oh, you're going to do the rounds now and say that my trainer is a bad trainer. When I find my trainer to be the best trainer I've ever trained with, hence the reason he is my trainer. Like, I've had options.
Yeah.
He seems to be the best guy. Very good boxing coach. Pushes you. One of the best I've ever had.
Pushes you. And yeah.
Like, Luis J. Gomez will be sleeping thanks to my coach. Like,
wow.
So there you go. So it's not a bad guy. He's a good guy. So I just wanted to come on here.
I appreciate that.
And vice versa, dude. Like, you have each other's back, you know?
It sounds like that's what he's doing. When he's saying that, I'm like, hey, if you're not going to come here and train and get in shape, I'm not going to train.
It was sincere. It was like for his own health. Like, if you want to do this right, you've got to show up.
I'm not going to be part of it. I'd be the same way. Like, I'm not going to be part of it. If you're going to show up out of shape and not ready to go, like, I'm not going to be part of it because you shouldn't be out there.
I felt like even in that fight, like, sure, he got caught a couple of times, but you gassed yourself into a loss. You didn't have any cardio. By the way, were the ref. You saw it.
I was like, no, hold on.
You're so nice, by the way.
I'm like, I go there. One. Come on, bro. Get up.
These long counts.
Talking to him. He's two. I'm like, but how long are you going to count? Three. I'm like, come on, man. Get up. Get up. Fight. You're fine. Because I can see that.
He's just tired. I know.
I'm like, just get up. Go fight. But he's like, I'm done. Nope. I'm like, okay. I tried to talk him into it.
You tried, yeah. So was that a big part of the training then, the cardio? You want to make sure you're not.
Because we knew he didn't have any.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't show up.
No, but for you, I'm saying.
Anybody.
Oh, for me, for my fight?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm 49.
Hey, by the way, anybody.
Like,
anybody
put that on the table right there. Like,
anybody thinking about fighting? Hey, your celebrities out there thinking about fighting. Biggest thing, be in shape. Like, show up.
Yeah.
You know what? The worst thing to do is when you get out there, people get out and fight. And they have no gas.
It blows my mind when someone has 3 months and they don't do that one bit. If you don't have any training, the only thing that's going to get you the win is your cardio.
Yeah.
That's it. Because nobody had big gloves on. They got notified that they were going to have big gloves on. Like, do the math, dude. 24, was it 24 ounce? 23 ounce gloves.
Yeah, 23 ounces.
Your opponent is 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
Get some cardio.
Be able to move around.
Here's the thing. Honestly, you're right. You're right. In a fight like that where guys aren't training that well, you could almost just do cardio and be the guy.
Yeah.
Because by the third round, if you're pushing him the whole time, and most of these guys, by the third round, they won't even be able to hold those 23-ounce gloves up.
Dude, I do Ellis Mania every year, and it's people that have never had a fight before fighting each other.
Oh, wow.
And almost every fight turns into, if it goes into the second round, they'll both do this to each other. Like, well, they'll both take a break and agree on it. Like... because all they've been doing is holding their breath, going, because they don't know.
We had that Special Olympics down the hall from my gym. And we used to raise money for them every once in a while and have like these fat boys and other people fight. Have fat boys and people fight and do the tough guy things. But I referee, so they try to do something like that. I'd be like pushing them into each other and making them fight. But it's so funny to do it. So I used to have so much fun with that. Making those guys just kill me.
Wait.
Trust me, the Special Olympics guys weren't fighting.
Yeah.
We're giving them the money we raised.
I thought he was saying that he went to this, he made fat Special Olympics people fight each other for money. That's not what he said.
No, that's exactly.
Oh, no, you made fat people fight in front of.
Not what I heard.
Yeah, you heard me too, bro.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Sorry, guys. It's been a long week.
Hey, that reminds me of this one time I made fat special needs kids wrestle for money. You know
they didn't want to do it, but I pushed them in. I said, get in there, fatty.
Like, yeah.
They weren't
doing so fucking stupid.
It's a charter Special Olympics place because the school, they don't get national money.
They were watching, though.
Small thing, they watched everything. Yeah. We give them the money, all the money.
All right, well, that adds
up. And he gave
up.
Them money.
That sounds better. That's a very cool we'll go story. With that story,
Remember that time Chuck Liddell gave all his money to special needs people?
Yeah. He did it only after he forced them to fight.
Fight each other for money. He gave him a bit of the cash.
Oh man, dude! All right, so you got
that makes me think. Well, I had a buddy of mine. This guy this guy we're at a bar in San Luis Obispo, and we're sitting there, and this guy is over there that's looking at me and staring at me, right? And my buddy's like, hey man, the guy's staring at him. I'm like, oh, he's fine, bro. It's okay. Don't worry about it. And he's like, man, I think he's I think he's a little bit special needs. Like, I mean, he looks like he's a. I mean, he looks like one of the best. And he's like,
it gets dangerous as soon as he starts talking like this,
no,
man.
No, seriously. But my buddy,
I feel like I gotta go.
You got a drop button?
No,
yeah.
No.
Okay.
My buddy's
like, special needs guy in the bar.
No, my buddy's like, but getting worried about him. I'm like, bro, like I think I know him. Like, hold on a second. I think he was. Hi, Chuck. How you doing? And he's one of the guys that from down the hall. My buddy's like tripping out. I'm like, dude. He's like, my buddy got all weird about. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
So
that's it. Okay.
No, it's just weird. Like, it's people that like when they say like,
you're okay with the special needs hug.
I'm all the time.
You're saying you can take a special needs hug.
Yeah, 100%.
Anybody out there special needs think they want to hug Chucky? You go ahead and do that.
Like
it's a T-shirt, right? Special needs hugger.
I'm okay with it. Yeah.
I want to interview the person that isn't okay with that. You
me
know?
Too. Like,
what is your deal, man?
Totally. And that's what we. That's
all they
what
want
we're
is a hug.
You don't know. You might do something.
What?
You might do something.
Wait, your friend. Don't name your friend. Do not name your friend.
Oh, my God. I was like,
you better watch out. Chuck Liddell. You better watch out. Special needs guy could do what to you if he hugs you?
Yeah, what is this guy
going to do?
What has this guy been through where he thinks that's a threat?
I don't know. Like, that was the thing.
Man,
whoever that guy's parents,
they raised him incorrectly.
I know. I get that joke. I was so, I'm like, because he's a normal, like the guy. I like the guy, and I'm like, what is wrong with him?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why are you being like that? Like, that's the weirdest thing in the world.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Tito Ortiz.
Way to wrap it up. All right, you got the Jason Ellis show. What?
I just said Aaron Carter's full of shit. He's a fucking I don't like it when you're gonna talk shit and you're full of shit. He doesn't say anything. He just goes, yeah, sounds good, Jace.
Yeah, he's a guy. I got a great special needs story for
you. Special needs. I make him fight.
I pay the guy's career.
It's a good fucking right turn.
Hey, all right, but if they hug me, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, you're
right. You know what I mean.
We don't know.
Right.
No. You make a guy look bad like that. That's not cool. I mean, you can say whatever you want about your other stories. I don't.
I'm not trying to.
I don't judge people's stories about the past. But if you're gonna start,
I give benefit of the doubt until the doubt should not be given.
Very professional. I think it's the best way to go. I feel like I'm made several mistakes where I'll say something on record where. That person will now hate me, and I was just saying something I shouldn't have said.
Yeah.
But with the Aaron Carter thing, you don't talk shit on my coach, dude. He was trying to help you. We were trying to help you. Don't do that to us. We were only trying to help. All the best to you and your career, but don't talk shit on my boys. Thank you.
I can dig that.
That's it.
Jason Ellis Show.
Yeah.
Podcast out there everywhere for people to get.
Yep.
And what, Hawk and the Wolf?
Hawk versus Wolf.
And you and Tony chopping
we
up
fight.
What?
Every Monday we fight. I win. Obviously, I've been training a little more.
What are the topics you discuss?
A lot of old skateboard shit, celebrity encounters because he has a crazy life.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a way better storyteller than he used to be. He kind of used to be a bit like he was talking to a really young kid, and now he is more of a talking to adults and can share stories that are more something where you're like, whoa, Tony Hawk. Yeah, he does stuff.
Oh, cool.
So it's pretty. Well, it's groundbreaking.
More rounded,
for that.
I get it though, because I'm like when I first started doing interviews. Like, they're like, man, you gotta make your interviews more interesting. I'm like,
well, he said that.
Yeah,
You should punch the interviewer. That'd be more interesting.
I was like, okay.
Mix it up, man.
Back to that Ariel Helwani fight.
No one told me how. Like, no, I actually went and got an interview coach.
An interview coach?
Wow.
I'm not really.
To do what do they say?
Actually, it would really help back then, because back then no one knew what MMA was.
Yeah.
I got it right before I fought Tito the first time.
I want that job. That sounds awesome.
Fuck yeah.
She said,
first off, you're talking about a two. I need you an eight. I need your volume.
Oh.
She goes,
that's respectable.
Yeah. Here's the, I wrote down the top 10 questions that I got from everybody. The top 10 was answer. She goes, through the lines.
Here's the deal. You can't be a you can't be a warrior and be flamboyant.
Yeah,
those combinations are usually very tough to be.
Yeah,
he's been thinking about murder this whole time, and now you want him to turn it up and be a little flamboyant about selling some tickets. I'm in the middle of thinking about killing this fucking dude over here.
Tough to separate.
And you want me to be like, hey, pizzazzy, pizzazz. Like, fuck off.
Yeah, that's a tough order.
And plus, back then we had the problem. No, like you go to a radio interview, and the guy hasn't read his one sheet, doesn't know what MMA is, and that's a stupid question. Like, so it's kind of like WWE, right? And you're like, no.
I could have been his manager, like Lou Albano. You know,
hey, by the way, the best
advice. Staple some rubber bands to my face and be like, I got this, Chuck. It's going to be mayhem tonight. Trust me. Get your tickets.
Listen to me, baby.
You get a stupid question, answer it, yes or no, and then talk for about a minute and a half about whatever you want to talk about.
Right.
Tell a story, do
bad
something.
Bad coach.
And then, but then they'll,
that's not how you do it. You're supposed to say, that's a stupid question. You're a moron. Why is this guy here being a moron?
Yeah.
People go, whoa, here Chuck told call whoa. That dude a moron.
Hot now, take.
You can probably get away with that, actually.
Yeah, they want that. It's clickbait.
No, but you can be more like, because now they know what your sport is. Before
of course.
Suplex Ariel Helwani on television for asking an incorrect question.
Not a bad idea.
Like, don't actually
I remember when he asked,
suplex. Yeah, just lift him in the air and drop him. He'll be all right.
I think Dana almost killed him once for asking me a question.
Dana doesn't like Ariel Helwani, and I hate to say it, but I'm on Ariel's side. I feel like Dana is a bully sometimes, and Ariel's a sweet guy who loves MMA, and all he's trying to do is give everybody MMA. If you got beef with Ariel, you got your own beef, is my opinion on that one. And I love Dana too, but I just feel like Ariel, you hate it. How do you get mad at Ariel Helwani? He doesn't seem like a guy that starts shit.
I didn't think the question was unfair. I think Dana was like a little, he's getting overprotective of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was talking about me fighting again or something.
Yeah, for sure.
By the way, Ariel Helwani asking me a question about fighting again is not going to change my decision to fight again.
Right.
I like the guy, but he has no influence over me fighting or not.
It is cool that he cares about you like that, though.
Oh,
you still friends with him?
Yeah.
I mean, do you feel?
Yeah, he's always cool with me, man.
Do you think that he was trying to stop you from fighting for any other reason than your own physical?
No.
Like
no.
He really was looking out for you, dude.
He has a weird memory about it because we went to dinner before I retired, right?
Yeah.
And he starts to tell people how he told me to retire.
Yeah.
He never did that. He never had to. He was going to.
Okay.
But I came in and I said, you know what, man? I can't compete at the level I want to compete at anymore. I want to retire. And he said, thank you. I was going to tell you could, but I was going to tell you I was going to let you go, but and you could, I'm not going to stop you if you want to, but I didn't want to fight again. And I said, okay, yeah, no, can just give me, give me like 3 months. Give me before we announce it, because I just need a little time to accept that I'm not fighting anymore.
Right.
Because, I mean, it is hard for us. I mean, that was all I did for 20 years. All I did is try, and since I was a kid, I've always had something I was trying to be the best at, and now all of a sudden
it's the podcast?
Well, now we're working on learning how to do interviews and podcasts and do some other things. Yeah, I'm trying to learn how to act a little
better. I think
it'd
be good if he did like a TV show where he lived in the wild and like ate like snakes and...
Oh, I watched I got invited
to go do an episode with like the guy that's a man.
Man versus wild?
Man
eats wild.
When?
I don't know. I think I'm going to do it in September or something.
Oh, my God. That's the start. And then guess what? That goes well, and then you get your spinoff.
Then you just live in the wild every now and then. Your family visits you.
The thing is, when I talk to him, he's just like, well, no.
Or maybe
like,
just FaceTime.
We got to make it a challenge, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be something crazy. I'm saying, perfect.
Could you live in the wild would you be into living in the forest?
In the forest? As a challenge?
No.
Just live for like a month.
Live in the wilderness.
I love the wilderness. I'm not getting out of it, but I like people too much. I mean, I don't have to.
Yeah, you go crazy, but that's where the TV comes in. People want to watch that.
Crazy,
but I don't want to
taken away from his family.
No friends. Chuck Liddell's gone mad in the wilderness.
Hello, Hollywood.
You really want that?
I don't want that. I watch the show.
Yeah,
but I'm like Dana White. I think that's not the best for you and your family, so I don't want you to go there, yeah. Chuck. Don't go live in the wilderness for a TV show.
Unless you're fighting Mike Tyson in the woods for $10 million.
Yeah, but make that just like a week. Don't live there for the rest of your life.
What if it's him and Mike out there together?
Who?
Him and Mike Tyson.
Yeah, no. Forever? Legs.
No, for like a month. Living in the woods.
I mean, that sounds like hell for them, but I would watch it.
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
There's no way they wouldn't be friends.
By the way, there's always a pride.
Yeah.
You pay me enough.
I'll
take a month off.
Would you jump off a car onto a skateboard for like 50 grand?
I'd try.
I'll give it a shot.
This guy's down. He's DFW, man.
You would eat shit so bad.
Terrible. But I just asked me, like, they asked me, we're going to do, jump out of a plane and drop, like, airdrop some stuff into somewhere for, like, to
you
water,
would do that.
Water, jump like that. Will you do it? Sure. You guys tell me how to do it. I've never jumped out of a plane, bro.
Would you swim in a river that has those fish that go in your dick hole and get stuck in your.
Piranhas. No?
Nah. No, piranhas just eat your dick. I'm talking about those
fish that want to live in your dick.
Pee in the water or something, they go up your dick hole and they
slice. By the way, I'm not
Steve. You can't get them out. You
dick livers.
You got to slice your dick open to get them out.
I'm not.
Would you go swimming in there?
So that's so confident.
What?
I wouldn't want to.
Yeah, but what about if I gave you $500,000 to do it? There's a 50% chance when you come out, you'll have this sea creature lodged in your dick and you have
to. Are they going to get it out?
Is
there any chance I won't be able to have sex again?
Nah, you probably bounce back. If that Bobbit dude can bounce back, I'm pretty sure you can.
As long as you guarantee I can bounce back.
Has he bounced back, though?
He's in porn after it got ripped off.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't see that?
No.
Yeah,
with what, a prosthetic or a real one?
No, it's his real dick. He's got a scar where the thing was cut off and sewn back on.
Holy shit. All right. Yeah. I think you'll be fine.
It was not much to begin with. Cool. Maybe she cut off a little bit when it didn't get sewn back on.
Well.
There's a chance that we'll get it, right?
All right. He's down. We'll set it up. All right. There's a few questions we're going to close out to ask you. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Chuck, I'll hand this over when it's your turn for the special one. RIP James Lipton, Inside the Actor Studio. You never got a chance to be on. It would have happened inevitably. So we're going to close this out with the James Lipton 10 questions.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Jason Ellis, what's your favorite word?
Man. Oi.
Nice. That's an Australian word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't even think it's an Australian word, but yep, oi.
What does it mean?
Nothing. I usually say oi, mate, to people, or oi. It just gets shortened to oi, which means hello, kind of.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably scream oi if you got those dick liver fish inside your dick, yeah?
No, I'd probably just go, fuck, I got fucking fish in my dick. Yeah. Oi's more of a friendly thing. I'm pretty upbeat with oi.
Yeah,
okay. Oi cunt.
Yeah.
Cunt is probably my second favorite word.
But yeah, I love it. Big down under. Yeah,
they like that.
It's very, it's an affable.
I know that it's a little harsh here, but explain.
If you have the accent, you can get away with it.
I was going to say, I don't hit the T, so it's less offensive.
It is. Yeah. When I was down there doing a show, the Uber driver, when he dropped me off in my show, he was like, have a good set, you cunt. And I was like, it seems like it's going to affect your rating. And I didn't know it was such an affectionate term.
Yeah, one of my best friends, Jake Brown, is in my phone as sick cunt.
Great.
That's his name.
And that's good. He made it.
Yes.
What is your least favorite word?
What is a word that I don't like? I don't know. Probably white guys dropping the N-word. There you go.
Yeah. Never cool.
I don't like that.
What turns you on?
But don't be so close. Man, I'm going to answer it over here.
I did that on purpose. Yeah.
Chuck, his delivery on that one is always money.
So creepy. Should have seen it from my angle. That shit was creepy. I'd rather he be angry at me, actually. Fucking creepy as shit. like a lot of things, like my wife and like big fat chicks and fat asses and fucking trans people. I'm everybody pretty much. Like great. Not you guys, but you know.
Yeah.
Weird people that are sexually into me, they're on the list.
Whoa.
Really wish you didn't ask that question.
Yeah. All right. Next one.
Oh, what turned you off?
People that don't want to fuck me. That I'm into. Yeah.
Good answer.
What's your favorite curse word?
Yeah, cunt.
That was easy.
What What sound or noise do you love?
What sound or noise do I love?
Yeah.
I like waterfalls and shit. I feel like that sounds good. I like the ocean.
Yeah.
I like chainsaws, and I like dirt bikes and fucking V8s and Lamborghinis and shit like that. All those things sound awesome. Metallica.
So both ends of the spectrum. You like the chill, serene noises.
And yeah, then
you
fuck like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely into both.
Could you listen to Metallica while on the beach? Or is that combining two?
No, it's no problem. I do that all the time.
I love that.
Sometimes I run on the beach to Metallica or Machine Head.
Yeah.
And I can only listen to that when I'm in tip-top shape, because I'll run too fast and get sore, because it's a motivator.
Fuck yeah. What sound or noise do you hate?
People telling me what to do. Anybody like talking like your authority, like or you know what you should do.
I
should
know
shut
better.
The fuck up is what you should do.
Totally. Yeah.
I like that.
It's one of my peeves as well.
That. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Well, from being hurt a lot, I remember my hand surgeon once saying to me, do you know how many golf players I have in here? And I was like, no. And he's like, none, you idiot. And I was like, right, I see what you're saying there. So, yeah, I would like to be a golf player, but yeah. I would somehow, I just don't like golf. That's the only problem with that.
It's a key component.
But I would like to play a sport where you don't get hurt
and
be super into it, because then I could keep going.
Bowling?
No, I don't want to bowl. I don't even care if I like it.
What profession would you not like to do?
I wouldn't like to be a tax man or a politician or a rollerblader.
I think you make a good politician.
Politician? Yeah, dude, you got a lot of stances that we've been all.
Tito would not like me. him and I would have some disagreements.
But you see, I had to step down from mayor.
Yeah, he lost it. How do you feel about him losing his job? Do you think that's funny?
The fact that he,
you think he cared?
You know why?
Because he took money, right?
He was getting unemployment while being paid by the city.
Isn't he rich?
What's wrong with him? Like, what made you think you could get away with that?
Do you think maybe it was an accident?
No.
Okay.
Jason, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Hail Satan.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, by the way, I kind of miss him being
I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go. I want to party. You know, like I want to go somewhere where
you don't think there's partying in heaven.
Not like orgies and shit.
Right.
I'm trying to get boned, man. I want to like fucking.
There's probably a VIP lounge up in
everybody,
heaven.
Everybody, all asses, and I'll be back in the Coke Zone. Fucking.
Woo. The Coke Zone. Who's in the Coke Zone in heaven right now?
Well, it's not real. It sucks there.
Yeah. Okay.
It's in hell.
Right.
Everybody's doing blow. It's the coolest.
Oh my God.
I'm joking, right? I'm joking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to go anywhere near any of that. I just want to stop.
Great.
Yeah. This has been awesome.
This has been awesome. Thanks for making time. Jason Ellis Show, Hawk versus Wolf, right?
Yeah.
When do episodes drop? Every
Monday, and the Jason Ellis drops every Wednesday.
Appreciate you, bro. Good luck in the fight, too, man. We'll be
thanks
watching.
Thanks for having me, man. I really
appreciate
you.
Yeah, it was fun.
Getting me in here. And sorry again for being that late. That's so crazy.
Well, we'll take the hit. We'll set up the hit. And then we'll be.
Where are you? And I was like, where am I? What? Like, no idea what's happening at all. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Our boy Ari slipped up on that, but it's all
good. That's not my fault. No. I didn't tell my wife.
Well, we did it. You're here now.
Yep.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, guys.